talking about when you were in Britain, about the British and about being able to go where you pleased.
Yeah, it was, I remember I was in a center and they wanted the, it was all officers in this recuperating center, and there was no organization. We were just officers. They wanted us to exercise, and we walked 10 or 12 miles to the seacoast quite often just to get our exercise. And the people, if they would, visit with us, and I even had one group that took us on a tour, or took me on a tour, and another fellow on a tour of the southern part of England. And then later on, before PE Day, I went on a tour up to Ireland. In 2 or 3 days, went through several of their old castles and one thing and another. Because I really had a good time in England.
Good. Where were you exactly in Britain?
Now you asked me. My recuperation center was about 15 miles from the southern border of England. I forget the name of the towns.
Okay.
But on VE Day, I happened to be visiting in London, and I was in the crowd that everybody saw in the paper, I think, when the Queen came out to address the crowd. I was in that crowd, and of course I don't remember having to report to anybody. I was just there. I was on VE Day when she was.
How did you feel about how the war ended?
Oh, I was very pleased, and I was very glad it was over, because then I knew I was going to be able to get out.
What were your expectations about once the war had ended?
Well, I always had figured that I was going to go back to the ranch. I mean, that was what I had wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do when I went in service.
Where were you when you heard the news about VJ Day?
VJ Day. Well, I was still in Britain. Not in Britain, I was still in France. I think after I come back to my original unit, the 10th Armored Division, after VE Day, and I went with my original unit. So I'm back to my original unit. And what was the question on that?
Well, okay, why did you stay in Europe rather than going home immediately after VE Day?
Well, our battalion had at the end of the war, took over a prisoner camp of German prisoners, war prisoners. Now, most of the prisoners, the Wehrmacht, or the regular German army, were discharged right away, but the camp that we had consisted mostly of the Nazi, the hard-boiled Nazi Germans. Well, what did they call them?
The SS?
Yeah. And, you want to know why I was held over there? In order to control these Germans, it was rumored that some of our troops had used a kind of a quirt which is made up of a little ball, not a little ball bearings, little shot pieces on about six of them on a string attached to a stick. He'd use those for punishment. The Germans had used those, and we had captured some. And there was rumored that we had used those on the Germans, on these Nazis. And I wasn't in the officers that were controlling this, but I was called to make an investigation and report an investigation on this, the use of these things, which I did. And then I was called, investigation showed that we had used those. The troops had used them. And then I was held over to a court-martial for a court-martial trial on the officers that had it authorized it. And that's the reason I didn't make it home with my unit.
Why were they being court-martialed in Europe instead of the United States?
Because there's where the investigation was, there's where the whole thing took place. And one of the reasons was we wanted to get this straightened out before they come home. It was actually abuse anyway. We wanted to court-martial the officers so they couldn't be tried in civilian court when they did get home. Not to clear the officers, but to straighten out the records and get it straight. So that's what. But I only had to testify on the report that I made, which I reported that it was so, that these were used, but to control these Nazis, these hard-boiled or prisoners that we had that were almost uncontrollable.
What were your feelings in regards to the courts martial?
Well, I thought it was a good thing. I thought, of course, I knew that the troops had to use something other than just talking to the people. I mean, they were, these hard-boiled Nazis were actually uncontrollable. And with these squirts, they did control them. And I think it was a good thing that we did have the court martial and get it cleared up, get the record straight.
Mm-hmm. What was the outcome of these trials then?
They were all acquitted. I mean, the court martial decided that it was necessary to do these things to control them. Now, it wasn't, you know, real serious. There wasn't anybody beaten or anything. It was just a good deal of scare of using them. But they were at times used, these. Yeah, you know what they are, little things on the end of a stick, little shot pieces that, you know, they would hurt and sting if they'd hit you. So.
Can you tell me about what your trip home was like?
Well, the trip home was enjoyable. I mean, as an officer, I was not under any unit, not in any unit. I was just an individual coming home, and it was just enjoyable to come home. There weren't any submarines. We didn't worry about any submarines or anything hitting the ship, which going over we did. We had submarines chasing us. and coming home and getting out was just a, well, actually, throughout my entire service, even up to the major, I never did hold a command position.
Really?
Yeah. It was always a executive position, office. Never a command position. Actually, a command position.
When did you make major?
After the discharge, I never did serve active duty as a major. It was overgrade service, I think. It was the only reason I got major.
How did you get home once you landed, once the ship came in?
Oh, well, they sent me, actually, I don't know, went through several places, but to Fort Knox, or not Fort Knox, to Camp McCoy, Wisconsin, where I was discharged. Or I never was discharged, I was released from active duty. They bought me a plane ticket, or not a plane ticket, an air, rail ticket home, train trip home. There's a Rapid City where my wife was, yeah.
Did you go directly home then?
Yeah, I went to Rapid City where my wife was, and after a week or after a few days, we bought a car, and the first thing it does, well, the fellow that bought it from wanted to keep it to take his wife someplace, and he wrecked the car.
Oh no!
So he was good, he gave me my money back, and then we bought another car and then come out to the ranch, and at that time I was very kind of disappointed at that time, because my brother-in-law, my sister and brother-in-law were living on the ranch. They had, by that time my dad was kind of, you know, getting crippled up, and my brother and sister-in-law were actually running the ranch. And I thought that, well, they don't need me worrying too much about this, that I would be out. But the second time we come out there, they told me that, her brother-in-law told me that they had no intention of staying there. His folks had a ranch that he was going to take over in Washbaugh County. That it was wide open for me to come home. And that was a great relief, because that's something I'd always wanted to do.
What were some of your expectations about going home?
Expectations? Well, just to come home and be able to take over, be able to do things that I wanted to do. Farming and ranching and one thing or another when I got home. After I decided my brother-in-law wasn't going to stay there.
How did you feel about leaving your friends from your unit?
Well, I had actually separated from the friends probably a month or two before, because being held over in on this war crimes trial, there were just two or three of the officers there that were involved in this court-martial deal. So I had no really friends in me, or longtime friends, mm-hmm. left in the Army. Mm-hmm. They had, most of them, been home and discharged. They were home four or five or six months ahead of me.
Did you keep in touch with any of your friends from the Army after the war?
No, not too much touch. There was one friend we had from division headquarters that we stopped to see one time. He was from Cincinnati, Ohio, and then they stopped to see us after we moved to the motel in Spearfish. But we're about the only contact that they kept with the friends and in the service.
What was the first thing that you did when you got home? Do you remember?
I don't know. I went to visit my wife and little boy. And, I don't remember too much about it. I know it was just an enjoyable time. The war was over, and at first, when I found out my brother-in-law was there, I didn't think I had no idea what I was going to do. I was just going to take a few months and just do nothing. I mean, that was my thoughts, that I wasn't going to do anything for a couple months. Which I didn't. Of course, I think 3 months' pay coming. That I had vacation time coming after he got home anyway.
How old was your son when you got home?
Yeah, let's see, he was about 2 years old, I think. It's been about 2 years old or so when I got home, 2 and a half. Maybe, yeah, he's 2 and a half years old when I got home. I was 18 months overseas, actually. So I wasn't really gone too long. The rest of the 5 years or full 5 years I spent in the United States before the war. I mean, during the war.
How did your friends in the community react to your coming home?
Well, I don't know. I think appreciated that they were, most of the friends were appreciative of the fact that I was in the war. It was in a rural area there, and not too many had been called to the service. And they were mostly appreciative of the fact that I had been in the service. The fact is, they elected me a county commissioner the first year I was home. So
how was civilian life different from military life?
Well, you said it was different.
It was just different?
Yeah, it was different. It was altogether different. Of course, I didn't despise military life. It was okay, but it was a lot better to be out of the service, be your own boss. Of course, the military life is the only time that I ever was on a salary. I was paid a salary. Military, except the times before I went into the service or when I was, a young fellow on the bum, you might say. I worked at Cooley Dam. But after the service, that was the only actually salary I was ever due a salary or paycheck outside of work at Cooley Dam before. And one thing or another. So, well, that's probably the difference in military life and on the ranch and motel.
What was the easiest adjustment about coming back to civilian life?
Easiest adjustment?
Yeah.
Well, it was all easy. I mean, it had always been in my mind, always been in my plan that I was going to be a rancher. Although when my family built up to 11 children and 35 miles from school, we decided we better get someplace where there was a school and the college to boot. So the kids had an opportunity to go to college. And that's...
What was the most difficult part about coming back to civilian life?
I can't think of anything that was difficult.
It was just all easy?
Yeah, it was all easy coming back.
What sort of benefits did you receive from your time in service, and how did you use those?
Well, benefits, let's see, what were the benefits? I know there was a small business benefit that I applied for on the ranch. They even forget how much it was. There's so much they'd offer you if you were in a small business, which was in a ranch, on the ranch for, I don't know, 6 months or so. What were the benefits? That's the only one I can think of now. Of course, after a while, after I got older, I took out the benefits, the VA benefits, which included doctor and hospital and one thing and another, which I didn't take any of those benefits for the first 20 years or so after I got out. But now I have VA benefits, almost complete medical. Oh, one thing I had, a pension, disability pension. That was the benefit. I forgot more about that. 20% disability pension I've got ever since I was out. Well, for a while I cut it down to 10%, then they raised it back to 20% disability pension, which has been a big help. I almost forgot about that.
What about the war made the biggest impact on you?
Well, I don't know. That's hard to say. That's my nature. I just take everything for granted as it comes and try to do the best I can. Try to do the best I can with whatever I'm doing. So I don't know if there's any great impact either way, anyway.
How would you sum up your service?
Well, I wouldn't want to do it again, but it was something that had to be done, and we all realized, and not only the people in the service, but the people at home were greatly influential in winning the war. It wasn't just the service people, it was the people at home that actually won the war with their production of everything. Not necessarily the people that were in the service.
What did your time in the service mean to you?
I don't know, it was something he had, had to do, and we just done it. We just did it. We didn't. Nobody at that time complained, or even the people at home that were under ration on one thing or another didn't complain. We just did it, and that was it. There was no thought about it. I mean, not like there is now. I mean.
When you think back about your time in the service, what image sticks out the most?
An image. I don't know, there were 5 years in service. There were so many things that happened in those 5 years that I don't know which would be the most.
Would you encourage your family members to be in the military?
Well, yes. I had three. One, two, three. Three boys in the service. Yeah, I think it's good training, it's good background. I had, you know, three or four grandchildren in the service, and there's one still in. One just got out. And it's been a wonderful background training for them, especially right out of high school when they didn't know what they wanted to do anyway. They spent their year or two in the service. And actually, it's been good training for them, a good period to grow up, mature. You know. And which those that have come back have matured considerably. One just got out.
How do you feel about the way Hollywood portrays the war? In like movies and so.
Well, I think Hollywood tries to portray what actually happened. And I have no objections to it. Although sometimes they don't get it all right, but it's a good history. By Hollywood portraying it, the history gets down to people that would have no other access to the history or the facts that things did happen. I think that's mainly the best thing that Hollywood could do.
Can you think of any favorite stories about your time in the service?
One thing that I remember kind of vividly is the first time we were strafed by buzzed by a jet plane. Jet planes were not in use at the time of the war, but Germany had a few. And the Ardennes breakthrough, our battalion was on the southern border of the breakthrough, guarding, what's the name of that town, or that country now? anyway, a jet plane come over and strafed their column. But come so fast they didn't hit anything and scared the devil out of all of us, I think. That's the one thing I remember, that this jet plane was uncommon at that time. And as far as damage concerned, they didn't do any damage, but they sure did scare us.
I see you did some motorcycle training too.
Oh yeah, that was in the communications end of it. In the cavalry, the motorcycle was the a part of communications. They would bring messages back and forth to, and so we all had to learn how to ride it. Everybody in communications learned how to ride a motorcycle. And my main experience with a motorcycle was hitting a pop bottle one time and upsetting it. It was out at Fort Meade. It was out in the grassy prairie, and I didn't see the pop bottle, and actually I didn't get hurt much. I mean, it kind of bruised up a little bit, but